Hey, you got a crazy family?
We want to hear all about it.
Got a brand new podcast. It's called My Crazy Family.
And boy, we know there are some stories out there, and sometimes it just makes you feel better to get it off your chest or to hear about somebody else's crazy family. It lets you know that maybe yours isn't as nuts as you thought.
Yeah, the bar gets set pretty damn high. Trust me. You can call in your stories right now at 1-833-CRAY-FAM. That's 1-833-CRAY, C-R-A-Y, F-A-M, or write in your story at the website crazyfampod.com. That's crazyfampod.com.
And by the way, you don't have to use your real name. It's totally okay if you just want to make up names, but you just need to get rid of this information. We are your place.
You're not going to believe what you will hear on this podcast and the insane things that some families have put their loved ones through. 1-833-CRAY-FAM or write in at crazyfampod.com.
Stay tuned for our official launch date.
And start getting us those stories right now. crazyfampod.com.
My.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
Today in an oh so creepy, you're not going to be able to stop peeing your pants episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. And by the way, that's a real thing. Never-ending pee. Anyways, true ghost stories told by real people in their own words. Get the colostomy bags ready, kids, because this is going to be a dark one of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802. The phone number to call in and share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. And of course, if you want more than just the regular episodes that go out there on all the podcast feeds, but would you like to have it all commercial free, no ads, just gone, plus you still get all the other contents, everything there, all the episodes and the whole archive, like going almost 9-10 years back in that ballpark. Literally, it's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, all ad free. And, of course, you get the EPP bonus episodes every week. Still, new ones every single week in the whole archive of those. So there's a lot of ghost stuff, if you like it, over the last nearly decade of doing this show, which is scary to think about. Because you were like, you were like, were you born? You were super itty bitty when I started the show. Like one or two-ish, right around there. And now, when this airs,
long as it's after August, I will be 10.
You will be 10 on the, 10 yesterday in the date that this airs.
And you'll be 40.
Oh yeah. I'll be 40 on August 5th. So I'll be 40 by the time this airs.
Of course you will.
But
we age at the same time, everyone.
We do. And it's really getting scary because her beard is starting to come in really good. And it's like, and normally women in my family don't start getting their beards until, their mid-20s. They come in really good.
And your hair's starting to grow out. I caught that.
My hair is starting to grow out?
Yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, not right now.
Your hair, it's beautiful. It's luscious.
I don't have any hair.
Sarcasm, father.
I thought you meant like on the sides of my head, because I know there's some weeks where I'm like, I don't shave it until then it starts to get a little bit.
And then you have the dad head.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You mean the...
It's called the dad head?
The burnt off the top of your head. And all you have is the sides. Yeah, that's called the dad head.
The dad head. Yeah, yeah. The burnt off the top. That happened in Home Alone. That was part of the scenes.
Home Alone.
855-853-4802, the phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear it. In one second, as soon as this computer would like to load, I think this computer is becoming rather possessed lately.
I think
some may call it a virus. Some may call it possessed.
The power of Christ compels the computer. The power of Christ that compels...
Oh my God, it's levitating!
Holy water, crucifix, and you'll fix it right up. New handyman.
New at the Geek Squad. See your Best Buy, see your local Best Buy for the exorcism by Geek Squad. Okay, let's go to the caller. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, my name's Marcella. I have a story. It's actually my first time listening to your guys' podcast, so I'm not too sure if this is going to make the cut. But I've had a couple experiences while at my house, at my mother's house. I don't live there anymore, so I don't know if she's experienced anything since I've been gone. But anyways. The first time I experienced something was when I was around, I want to say maybe 10 or 11 years old. At the time, my sister was living at the house, and so was my brother. We actually had bunk beds. My sister and I shared the top bunk, while my brother had the bottom bunk. Anyways, one day in the middle of the night, let's just say 3 o'clock, just for the heck of it, why not? 3 a.m., I wake up and I just have, just really, really thirsty, very, very parched. So usually I can just go back to sleep, override the feeling, but for some reason I just really wanted to get up, go get that drink of water. So I did. I go down my stairs from the top bunk, and how my apartment was set up, you're able to look straight down into the hallway once you open the door from my room, and you'll just see the room to my mother's room, the door to my mother's room, and then you will also see the door to the bathroom. And right off to the left is the living room, but there's a wall right there, so you can't see beyond that wall, so you're not able to look inside the living room while looking straight down from my bedroom door. So just going on like a normal night, just going to go get something to drink. I walk down the hallway, I make my left, and I stop because I see just, to me, what it looked like was it looked like a girl dressed in all white. It was just like a long, honestly, it looked like a long white t-shirt, not a dress or anything like that. And it looked like she was praying. She had long dark hair, and she was just perched up on the TV stand, her hands prayer formation, and just long dark hair. And I kind of just stood, was a little bit frozen, honestly. I was a little shocked because I was couldn't really believe what I was seeing. And her head slowly starts to turn, and I get just a bad feeling. It's not like like I was going to see a nice face when she turned. All I know is that I just did not want to see what was going to happen as soon as she turned around. So as she's turning her head very slowly, I back up until I hit the wall. And once I finally hit that wall, it kind of just shocked me. And I went out of shock, actually. Sorry. Went out of shock. And made it back to my room, and I woke up my sister. I didn't want to tell her what I saw. I kind of wanted to see if she was going to see it as well. So I just woke her up, asked her if she can get me a glass of water, and she agreed. So she climbs down the bunk bed, and as she's climbing down the bunk bed, I decide that now I have the courage to see what that face looks like if she's still there. So I go, and of course, she wasn't there anymore. My sister gets up, she goes into the kitchen, grabs me my glass of water, and that was the end of that. Then it goes on maybe a next year or maybe another year after 2 years. I was cleaning my room, and we don't have any younger kids at the time anyway. There wasn't anybody. My mother was babysitting or any nieces or nephews that were pretty young. But I was cleaning my closet, and I saw a handprint of a child, and it was clear as day, just a handprint on the wall. And I got very confused. I'm like, what the heck? How did this get here? I've cleaned my closet multiple times. I've been in and out of here grabbing clothes and sweaters and anything that I need to get from this area, and I've never seen a handprint. And I got a little freaked out. I told my sister. My sister comes into the room. She takes a look at it, and I think she was trying to protect me. I was still kind of young when this was going on, so she probably didn't want me to get scared. But she said that she'd seen that handprint there before, but on the look of her face when I showed her that handprint, it looked like it was the first time that she had seen it as well. So it was just a weird situation. So, I mean, I didn't want to look at that handprint any longer than I had to. So I decided to get some cleaning product, spray it down, and I started rubbing it. And a majority of it came off, but the whole thing would not go away, and it's still there. If I were to go back to my mom's house into that same closet, I could definitely point out where the handprint is. It's not as dark as it was, because again, I did try to clean it off, but it didn't completely come off. Now, another experience was right before I moved out, actually, and I was on the phone with my boyfriend at the time, and he himself didn't believe in ghosts or anything like that, and supernatural. He was very, everything had a reason for why things happened type of deal. And I was on the phone with him, talking about who knows what, and I was sitting on my couch, and on the couch that I was sitting at, closest to the window, you're able to see into the hallway of just the area where all the bedrooms are. And right from there, you can see the bathroom door. If it's open, then you can see right into the bathroom. I was sitting at an angle to where I couldn't see completely inside of the bathroom, but I did see just the door and the mirror that's just right there. So I'm on the phone with my boyfriend, and we were just talking, and then all of a sudden, I was home alone, by the way, all of a sudden, I just see a dark shadow kind of crossing over into the bathroom, and I was on the phone, so I felt pretty brave, and I'm like, okay, that was weird, and he was like, what? And I said, no, nothing, because I knew he wasn't going to believe me. So I start walking towards that hallway, and then I just get this feeling of just complete dread. And I became honestly scared, and I didn't know what to do. And I just immediately started bawling, just crying my eyes out. And he can hear me on the other end, and now he's freaking out. He's like, Marcella, what's going on? What's going on? So I'm just slowly, not even slowly at this point, because again, I honestly felt threatened. So I just walked out, and I actually didn't. I'm sorry. I ran out of the house, and I was just outside of my apartment just crying. And when I finally calmed down, I'm like, okay, you're not going to believe me, but I swear, I saw something. I saw something walk into my bathroom, and as I was walking up to go see what the hell happened, I couldn't. I froze. I was scared, and I started crying because I felt like something was going to hurt me. And he was saying, he's like, okay, I'm not saying that I don't believe you, but are you sure that this is all? He's like, you didn't see anything but a shadow, and that's it. All I saw was a shadow walk into the room, and I felt like it wanted to harm me. Now, I don't know if this all connects, but I kind of have a feeling it does, but I am a victim of sleep paralysis. Now, since I've moved out of the house, I couldn't say that I have experienced it, but not as much as I did when I lived in the house. And every time, I mean, thank God I didn't see anything while in sleep paralysis, but I did feel a presence. I did feel something in my room or something trying to come after me. Now, just how I sleep, I always sleep on my side, and I tend to fall asleep with my back towards the door. Now, every time I do get sleep paralysis, I would feel something trying to come through my door, but of course I couldn't see because I wasn't facing that way. My dad himself was a victim of sleep paralysis, and recently I had watched a documentary, and it's just crazy because sleep paralysis, I mean, a lot of people experience it, but yet we all see the same thing. And I mean, some people may see more than others, or some people may feel a different presence than others, but originally from what I felt, it's just something dark and something scary coming into my room. But yeah, that was my experience or experiences. Sleep paralysis is definitely a scary thing, and I feel like that itself is just a whole other conversation. But that's my story.
Yeah, I mean, sleep paralysis is a scary thing, and I think there is just your run-of-the-mill or normal sleep paralysis where it isn't anything paranormal. It's simply your brain is in a place, and there's a place of fear that's going on, and you're half awake. So I always describe it like there's a toy when we were kids called Color Forms. Did you ever call them Color Forms?
Huh?
Okay. That answers that. These are like the little vinyl like things you'd stick on windows like little characters and things like that.
Yeah,
and
I think I know what you're talking about.
And then there was also, I guess it's a very old way of explaining it. Anyway, Color Forms you could like stick over a picture or over the outdoors or the windows and all that. And it's just, it's there, but you can always swipe them away. So I just kind of thought of like sleep paralysis and the things that people see almost like that, where it's like something is overshadowing the reality of the outside. Makes sense?
Yep.
Okay, good. But yeah, it's a creepy thing to have. And I think there's also the ones where there is something paranormal going on. Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
No, I don't believe so.
That's good. You want to ask Santa for that this year? Just to have the experience?
I'm good. I love how we're talking about this, like, literally in August.
I know. Well, and you know, in a month and a half, we can go see Santa at Bass Pro Shop.
Literally the day after Halloween.
Literally. We did last year. So, what was it? Yeah, it was...
Apparently Christmas is now a state of mind and not a time of the year.
Yeah. It was the day after Halloween. Santa was there and ready. But wouldn't that be great if you went up to Santa and said, "Who would you like, little girl?"
Sleep paralysis. Now, what dairy is that? Night terrors.
You want night terrors?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's my elf. Take your candy cane and you have a Merry Christmas. Creepy kid. And so that would go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this caller. Hi.
This is Phil calling from California, Orange County to be exact. Love the show. Been listening to it for probably close, over a year for sure. And definitely going to be an EPP. My son is telling me to join, so I think I'm going to do it. I want to get freaked out and scared throughout the year. But here goes my ghost story. I was young. I was, 11. And me and my dad, we went to Mexico, just me and him. And we're, you know, at my grandparents' house. And they have a corral. And so me and my cousins were, you know, we're playing in this corral where they were building this house. It was like half built. It wasn't fully built. So, you know, just running around. And in the corral, obviously, there's like pigs and horses and, you know, stuff like that. You know, there's livestock, whatever. So we're playing in this house, halfly built. And it was just us. It was during the day. And I could remember like going through like this house that was like bricks and, you know, a lot of cement, and it just smelled funky. It smelled nasty in some of the sections. So anywho, we're playing in this, you know, half built house. There's, you know, no roof, just like strictly walls and just like, I don't know. It was kind of weird. But nevertheless, there was a truck in this corral. There was an old, like, mini pickup truck. And it was next to the house. So I'm like, me and my cousin, one of the girls, you know, we're coming up to this truck. It was parked right next to this, you know, house and shit. Sorry, I didn't mean to cuss. But, we see somebody like hunched over, like, this is straight up no BS. I see somebody like hunched over, like, you know, like they're in the passenger side almost, and they're just kind of like leaning like towards the driver's seat. And so we come up to it, and I mean, I kid you not, this thing, or I don't know what it was, it turned around at us, and it was the craziest red eyes I've ever seen. And it, like, even right now I'm getting the goosebumps. Like, it was just the reddest eyes you'll ever seen. And it didn't say anything. I felt scared. I felt terrified. We ran. We booked it. Boom. When they called my grandpa, since my dad wasn't around, my grandpa came back with his pistol, and nobody was there. Nobody was there. It was quite freaky. I'll never forget it. It was crazy. But yeah, that's what happened when I was with my dad in Mexico. It must have been like 11 or 12. I was still pretty young. But nevertheless, my dad, he ended up passing away about, it's going to be 6 years now, on New Year's Day. And it's another weird thing that happened the day after he passed. So it was New Year's Day, he passed away. And the day after, January 2nd, all the family came over. And, you know, it was just a sad moment. And it was weird because we're in the backyard of our house right now. And my dad had like this little shed, like a smaller little shed where he'd play music, watch TV, and would have a couple beers back there. You know, it was really cool. And he like ran this electric cord from our house to this little house, you know, just to, you know, obviously, you know, play music, watch TV. And, you know, he had his little fridge and stuff. And so he did his little Mickey Mouse connection, you know, with like just, you know, connected, and it, you know, it went through the air. Anyways, my uncle, he gets a beer, and he before he pops it open, he says, "This is for my good friend, my in Spanish they say compadre. This is for my compadre," since my dad was my cousin's godfather. And so right when he said that, oh my gosh, the extension cord that was running from the little shed to our main house, the main circuit, whatever, it goes into flames. And I'm not talking about a small flame. I'm talking about, and it like, and I mean, these cable cords have been through wind, through rain, you know, through the hot summer, you know, heat, and nothing's ever happened. And right when instantaneously he said that, and those things caught fire. And I could have sworn that's just a sign my dad was there. And I got other stuff, but yeah, it's just kind of hard to talk about him. But yeah, love the show. This is really cool. Really cool outlet. Thank you for everything you do, and I hope you guys have a good day. Peace.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us.
Okay, so I think the cord bursting the flames isn't necessarily a good sign that your dad is there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking about that. Like, if you were a newly ghost, you're new to doing the whole ghost thing, so you don't quite
the whole tutorial.
You don't quite know your you know, your strengths, your weaknesses, how you impact things, because it's a whole new setup. Exactly. That's the music they'll be playing in the video version of this, just straight to video, and not even DVD, not Blu-ray. It's VHS. It's just going to be released on VHS, and that's it. That's how bad this would be. What would happen there is you're like, oh, I'm going to show that I'm here. And you think you're just going to like dim the lights, and you accidentally burn the house down because you're just like, yes, I'm here. And then boom, like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I had that much power. whole house burns down, another family member dies, and you just keep trying to be the helpful ghost on the other side that's loving and kind, but you're just a cluster. And in real life, you were a cluster too. You were just someone who like always screwed things up, and everybody just kind of knew you as that, but they loved you. And there you are on the other side, still being a cluster, but you're really ruining people's lives. Like, you take down a plane. You have someone end up getting eaten by sharks, like multiple sharks, limbs everywhere, all sorts of things. Or you're like, I'm going to scare these sharks away. And somehow it actually ends up attracting the sharks to you. And then it eats, like, your niece.
Well, at least you now have some buddies.
Yeah. I think that's a...
new friends.
That would be a good...
That's twisted.
That would be a good movie.
That'd be a really, like, out there concept.
There was a concept called... There was a movie called Ghost Dad, starring Bill Cosby.
How great is that?
Seriously. And he was, like, a ghost and helped the daughter. I don't remember. I think
is that what you want to be when you're dead?
I'll be your ghost dad, definitely. And then I'm going to be the ghost... freak out the grandchildren or great grandchildren grandfather there.
A whole new world.
It's gonna be all sorts of fun and games. I'm gonna practice my ghostly abilities though first on like the neighbor's house or someone's house that I don't like. So I can kind of see like what it is. So I'm like, oh, okay. If I walk into it, then that just dims the lights. If I rush into it, it blows the house up. And
yeah, you test that on the neighbors and you kill them.
And then once you figure that out, they're like, okay, now I know how to kind of communicate with my family by...
So you're going to kill other people?
No, not kill anybody. No, I make
possibly.
Sure...
Possibly.
Make sure nobody's in the home at the time of the possible...
Well, at least not the dog.
House fire. Yeah.
Or the cat.
There'd be no intent to hurt anybody. It would just be learning my powers.
No intent, everyone.
But then I could end up being the star of the ghost show. Goober the ghost.
Tony the ghost, not Goober.
No, Goober is like a kind of a goober, like a person that's kind of you're a goober. That would be like, yeah, that'd be a 1950s movie, black and white. Goober the ghost.
It'd be a lot like Flubber.
Flubber was like a 1980s movie.
I know, but still.
It sounds like Flubber, but, you know.
Like a really like kind of happy thing with like a lot of like messed up parts. So I think it'd be a lot like Flubber.
That'd be interesting.
Was Flubber actually a real thing at one point?
Well, there was a movie. I mean, are you talking about like an actual product?
Yeah.
Now,
I remember doing something on my show about it.
If there was a Flubber product, it was like a, you know, what movie inspired. It's like buying Ghostbusters slime. It's not really Flubber.
I know, but like, I remember there was like some sort of like weird like putty slime thing that they try to throw into the ocean to get rid of it.
Okay, yeah.
What was that?
I don't remember.
Was it Flubber?
I don't know.
Well, I'll have to listen to that episode. Okay. I'll find out.
I have no idea.
I'll march into your room at like 3 a.m. Dad, it's Flubber.
That's great. That's why I lock my door. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, guys. I really love your show, and I wanted to tell you a story that happened to me when I was about maybe 8 or 9. I lived in an old neighborhood. It was probably built, I don't even know if it'd be like a neighborhood. I guess it is. It was probably built maybe in the 1880s, and it backed up with a really new, brand new development. And one of my best friends who I met when, I think this was built probably when I was in first grade, but I met her second grade. So I would ride my bike over to her place. She would come over to my place, and it felt like two worlds away because my house was built about 100 years before hers was. That whole development went up like in the 80s. So she was driving with her mom. I was in the car with my mom, and there was this light, like this, stoplight to get out of the area and to turn like onto like the main street to go toward like the stores and things like that. So it was often that you would see like your friends in the car with their parents or whatever. Just, you know, we all kind of, I think, did things kind of at the same time. And I remember my mom was taking me to Claire's to get my ears pierced. And I don't know why I remember that. But I saw my friend, and this was like in the 80s. So her mom had one of those like wood paneled station wagons. And my mom did too, actually. And we pulled up to the light, and I was sitting at the light by her. And I recognized the car because I would see it in the driveway all the time, and I knew what her mom looked like. And I looked over and I saw like an old man sitting in the back seat with her, and she didn't appear to see me because he was like, the way we were positioned at the light, I was in the back seat and he was like in the back seat, like closest to me, if that makes sense, in her car. And he looked over and he waved to me, and I'm like, that is weird. Who is that old guy in the back seat with her? And we went and I got my ears pierced, forgot all about it. Well, that night I went over, I wanted to go to her house and show her my ears, that I got my ears pierced after dinner. And my mom said, oh no, it's not a good idea because her grandpa just died. So they're going over to wherever her grandma lived. And I always wondered, is that who I saw in the back seat of her car? It was just so weird. Like, was he like going with her to like run errands? It was just really weird. So I thought I'd share that. I love your show, and I've been an EPP for years, and keep it up. Bye-bye.
When she said they had the paneled car, that's immediately what came to mind. So, no, I think the answer was it was just Clark Griswold, and, you know, Uncle Lewis was in the back, and he had enough of him, and he was hauling him away.
Yeah, but seriously, like, that could have just been, like, another family member, like, going, like, to the, like,
I guess it could have been. I mean, that's a real simple explanation, but, you know, it could actually be.
Yeah, because that's, like,
There's more than one old person in a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it could have been his brother. I don't know.
Like Uncle Clark.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that could certainly be, you know, or maybe it was, you know, I don't know.
You never know.
I don't know. I guess you would be doing that. If you're recently dead, you're going to be doing a lot of that. You mean a lot of waving and saying like, can somebody see me? I think you'll have that where like, I think that person sees me and then they're gone. So you're going to be doing a lot of waving and trying to figure out, you know. So I think that does kind of make some sense.
I'd probably appear in people's cars and
I'm gonna write a book, How to Be Dead. And and like the guide.
When I'm dead, I will probably appear in other people's cars as like a child of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Like with cardboard that says, help me, in the back seat of people's cars.
I like just that.
Sticking that to the window. And whenever if someone like calls the police or something, I'll just disappear.
I like that. I just think I just came up with an idea for my next book.
How to Be Dead.
A Guide to Being Dead.
Where, like a three-page book.
It's based off of the stories that we've had on the show. Of things like that. And like in this situation, and it's going to be, I mean, it's not a serious book. It's just a funny book. I could be kind of creative and tell stories and now if we can just add that, that eighth day into the week, I can focus on that, but
it's not how that works, Dad.
There we go.
7 days in a week.
I publicly said it. I'm going to be doing it. So there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Oh my God. I don't know what's playing over here. Jackson
keep
Brown.
Okay.
All right. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all commercial free. Ghostpodcast.com to get signed up. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.